As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. Today on the show, our contributor Mike Belsito will be talking with Kyle Poyer, who is a market strategist at OpenView Ventures. They're going to discuss SaaS pricing in detail and how Kyle often sees it at a high level, coming from a venture capital perspective. So, really good talk. And if you're interested in SaaS pricing, pull out a pen and paper. You're probably going to want to take some notes. All right, let's get into it. Welcome to Rocketship.fm. Podcast where we explore startups from funding to growth, from culture to sales, and everything in between. I'm Michael Sacca.
I'm Mike Belsito.
And I'm Joelle Goldman.
Kyle, thank you so much for joining us here. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and talk about some SaaS pricing.
Thanks for having me. Glad people are interested in it.
Absolutely. And maybe before we really get started, you could just give me a sense of your background and tell me a little bit more about OpenView Partners and just your work there.
Definitely. So I'm a market strategist at OpenView. OpenView is a venture capital firm based in Boston that invests exclusively in expansion stage software companies. And companies in the portfolio include Datadog, Smashfly, Instructure, and Expensify. And I work very closely with the portfolio companies around market segmentation, understanding their value proposition, and then packaging and pricing. So it's really helping them understand their customers and buyers in the market to really monetize more efficiently and just, you know, make more money.
Awesome. How long have you been involved with pricing in particular? I know when we were talking a little bit before, you'd mentioned that that was actually a part of your background even before OpenView.
Yeah, so before joining OpenView, I was with a firm called Simon Kucher and Partners, and I spent about 6+ years in the pricing world now, and have completed several dozen pricing projects. Simon Kucher is known as the world's leading pricing consultancy, and they actually price everything from diapers to caskets. So talk about cradle to grave. they do it. And so within Simon Kucher, I focused on the TMT sector, working with newspapers, magazines, cable operators, marketplaces, software companies. But my favorite clients were always the SaaS startups. So I was really happy to get the offer to join OpenView.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, and I know I had reached out to you originally because we're doing this whole series on SaaS. And in particular, I wanted to focus on pricing because I've been involved with SaaS businesses in the past. I know that pricing is really hard when it comes down to it, especially for new companies. And I found this awesome SaaS pricing guide that you made. Maybe you could give me a little bit of background on that pricing guide, sort of why you came up with it to share it with the world. I found it to be helpful, but maybe you could tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, definitely. So since joining OpenView, I've been meeting with countless startups in the portfolio and just other startups in the space. And one of the things that's really struck me is how many of them have told me that they're embarrassed by their pricing. They've spent so much time on the product, on sales motion, but they neglected pricing, which is at the core of really how you make money. Many of them had even whiteboarded their prices in a room with the executive team and haven't really revisited it since. Some of that's because they don't have people on their team that know how to do pricing. They don't have the experience. They don't know where to start. And so my goal with this pricing guide was to really have a reference guide that any startup SaaS company could use to rethink their packaging and pricing strategy. And this is the guide that I released is the first part in what I'm planning is a 4-part series that's from seed to IPO, how to price your products every step of the way. Because a startup faces different challenges when you're at different stages of growth. And so, that'll be built out over time to help companies that are, at the really early stage and at the later stage.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's funny. You mentioned that some of the companies that you even work with, they'll mention how they're embarrassed about their pricing. But these are, venture-backed companies. These are companies that are doing great things. Why do you think it is that pricing tends to be so difficult for companies to figure out?
Yeah, it's really because you can do almost anything especially in the SaaS world. It's not like a consumer product where you have limited options. With SaaS, you could price it however you want, and there's never one right answer. So you're never completely sure that you're doing it the right way, which can be really challenging. And especially when you think about redesigning pricing, it's overwhelming to figure out where to start with it. You got to figure out how you package up your features, the value metric, kind of the charging unit for pricing. Do you have a freemium model? Do you have a free trial? And then what price do you charge? How do you upsell people? There's so many pieces to it. And so I really think it gets overwhelming for people. And so one of the first things when I work with companies, the first things I help them with is just bounding the problem and focusing on one pricing initiative at a time and, really the most pressing priority.
This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And, backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
Let's say for those, I guess, starting from the beginning, those startups that are trying to figure out pricing, specifically SaaS startups, that is an important thing to get right out of the gate. What type of advice might you give to a SaaS startup that's really just formulating their pricing for the first time?
Definitely. So the first thing is that you really need to think about your target customer and the buyer persona. So SaaS companies, I've seen publicly traded SaaS companies that are charging only a few hundred dollars per year for their product, and I've seen them that are selling $7 million or seven-figure deals, multi-million dollar deals. And so you can charge, there's such a variety in how you can charge, and so you first need to think about who you're targeting. If you're targeting the enterprise, then the price you can achieve is way higher than if you're targeting SMB mid-market, or if you're targeting a very senior buyer in an organization, you can get a much bigger deal than if you're targeting more of a mid or junior level person and you're just trying to get widespread adoption. So I mean, segmentation is key. The other thing I think about is the value compared to the other alternatives on the market. As a startup with a new technology, you might not have a like-for-like competitor, but you can still look at the other technology solutions that your customer is buying. So like if you're buying a sales efficiency solution, you probably should look at how much Salesforce charges and how much they're making from your target companies, because that's the reference that they'll have when they're thinking about buying you.
Right.
And then the last thing is the economic value you create for your customers. Can you prove that the product saves time, increases your customers' revenue, reduces costs, reduces risk, and then can you quantify by how much? What does that mean from a business impact perspective? And that's going to help you really justify the price and probably help you realize that there's a lot of value you're creating that you can capture through pricing.
We'll be back with more right after a quick word from our sponsor.
That's great. Now, once pricing is set for a startup, inevitably, let's just say they grow, over the course of the next couple of years, things go really well. It's likely that they'll end up addressing that pricing once again. I know, thinking back from my experiences in some of the businesses I was involved in, the thought of increasing our price was such a scary thing. Everybody, we had meetings upon meetings of, we're going to lose customers. How can we do this? Who gets grandfathered? Yet you told a story in the pricing guide about some of the companies you were familiar with, Status Page being one of them, where they ended up raising pricing in some cases by up to 8 times, yet they didn't end up seeing much of an impact when it came to conversion or churn. Could you go into that a little bit more? And for somebody that might be in the middle of, reevaluating their pricing, maybe talk them off the ledge a little bit in terms of why maybe altering their pricing and actually increasing it may or may not be a bad thing.
Yeah, definitely. So one of my favorite quotes actually about this is from Warren Buffett. He had a famous saying where he said, the single most important decision in evaluating a business is pricing power. And if you've got the power to raise prices without losing business to a competitor, you've got a very good business. And if you have to have a prayer session before raising the price by 10%, then you've got a terrible business. So I think it's certainly a scary exercise, because when you raise prices, you really learn a lot about your customers and about the value of what you built. But from my perspective, if you've done the homework correctly and thought through the details on implementation, pricing can be a major growth driver for your business. And it's something where if you can successfully do it, it'll help prove to investors that you have a strong product that your customers need and will pay for it. It really gives confidence that the business is staying power. But you need to build the confidence first, and you can do that by looking at your data, talking to customers, and really do some homework first. And then, once you've done the homework correctly, it should help you sleep a lot easier to actually raise the price.
you know, you bring up investors and, you know, OpenView invests in companies. That's what they do. From an investor standpoint, maybe you could talk a little bit more about, you know, how venture capitalists, other types of investors view pricing when it comes to, you know, the startups that they're considering investing in.
Mm-hmm. So the key metrics that investors are looking at with a business, I mean, they're looking at things like your market size, how, you know, your payback period and your net churn rate and so on. All of them actually interrelate with how you set prices. And so it's, to me, it's most critical for a SaaS company to show investors that your pricing enables a land and expand business model where, because you can bring on people at a pretty entry-level offering, it's cost-efficient to acquire a new customer. And then for every dollar you make in that initial sale, hopefully that will compound quite a bit in the future as customers get hooked on your product and want more, and you can upsell them. So that would lead to a short payback period on that investment in acquiring customer, and then ideally a net negative churn rate, and then ultimately a pretty big market size because you can prove that there is a willingness to pay in the market for the product.
Got it. Now, you know, sometimes we can learn by, you know, understanding what's the right thing to do, but sometimes, you know, looking at situations where, hey, it worked out, you know, it was a big failure, you know, they did it completely wrong. That could be instructive too. Are there, you know, situations where you've seen companies make big mistakes, and, you know, what are those big mistakes that especially SaaS companies tend to make when it comes to pricing?
Yeah, definitely. So there's a few different types of mistakes that I see, you know, quite a bit. One is just undervaluing what you've built and so not monetizing it to the fullest extent. And that's natural, right? Like if you just built something and you don't have customers paying for it, you don't really know how much it's worth yet. And so, you know, it's natural to just want to close the deal and go in at a pretty low price. But, you know, when you look at it objectively, you left a lot of money on the table. So I think that's that happens a lot, and it's pretty natural. And then second is a lot of times people are keeping their pricing too simple at the beginning. So they're not segmenting it or differentiating it. Not all of your buyers are going to be the same. And so why give them the same product, the same package at the same price? And then on the flip side of that, some people do want to kind of over-engineer their pricing. You know, maybe it's a really product-driven leader that, you know, helped build the product, gets really into the technical details, and, you know, really over-engineers the pricing too. And this can sometimes confuse the customers. It's difficult for sales to explain, especially when you're hiring a bunch of new salespeople, and it could look like nickel and diming to the customer if it's over-engineered. There's a balancing act there.
Yeah, I guess based on your experience, whether it was with OpenView or even in your past, can you think of specific companies where they just got it wrong? And you don't name names or anything like that, but, you know, can you think of situations where that's happened and, you know, if they took a different approach, they might have had a different experience? Are there any stories you could kind of think of that pulls that?
Yeah, I do have a lot. I don't want to name specific names.
Yeah, no,
I
don't want to get you in trouble here.
But actually, one of the companies that I've been working with recently has, you know, they built a really great business overall, but they were charging all the customers the same price per unit, even though their customers range from mom and pops to huge global entities. And their main customer or their main competitor differentiated the price based on the size. And so was able to offer something that was more affordable at the low end to the small guys and then make a lot more money from the large guys. And so there's, you know, pros and cons to what the competitor was doing. But, you know, when I talked to their customers, some of them actually told me things like, you know, the price for this is a drop in the bucket and it's a small drop in the bucket. And another one said, you know, we don't know how they're even making money given how much they're charging. And then the small guys are saying, you know, this is really expensive for me. So it was that was one where we moved to a tiered model. And that was a kind of a pretty small change. But, it actually drives impact for the business because we're able to increase the win rate at the low end and also able to, you know, extract more money at the high end. So it's kind of it's a win-win from that standpoint.
Now, that's interesting. Yeah, and it goes back to what you were saying where – every company is different and every model likely needs to be a little bit different. You don't want to over-engineer it, but you have to think of that customer base. That's really interesting. I guess to tie everything together, you know, you are, you know, probably being listened to right now by some people that are at that startup stage, some that are at the stage where they have a pricing model, but they're not sure if it's working quite well. I guess, regardless of the stage, what would you leave, you know, founders and business people with that might be listening that are thinking about how to best price their SaaS product?
So it would be, you got to do your homework and research when it comes to pricing. And, you know, so do the diligence by talking to customers, surveying them when it makes sense, really doing the market research that'll help you have confidence in, you know, in the strategy. I see that research is so valuable because you understand the value of what you're building, what else you need to build, you know, why people find it valuable, so it helps your marketing and how much you can charge for it. So I think that's a valuable piece of work to do. And then also just don't let perfection be the enemy of good here. Your pricing will evolve over time as you learn more, as you build out the product, as you have more customers, as you maybe shift segments. So you've got to be willing to adapt. And so, you know, do your homework first, but then don't stress out too much if you need to change it later on.
That's great. Well, Kyle, I appreciate you spending time with us. I know based off of this, there are definitely going to be folks that are going to want to keep up with some of your future writings, maybe on social media. How can people keep in touch with you? How can they learn more about that next pricing guide or, I guess, the phase two that might be coming out soon?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, anyone can feel free to email me if they want. It's my email's kpoyer, that's K-P-O-Y-A-R, at openviewpartners.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, just at Poyer K. Pretty easy. Feel free to reach out.
All right. That's awesome. Well, thanks again, Kyle, and we'll be in touch.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Big thanks to our sponsor for this series, ChargeBee. ChargeBee makes setting up your subscription billing fast and easy. Go to chargebee.com/rocketship and set up your subscription billing the same way Soylent sets up their subscription billing. Get it done right. Get it done the first time so you can move on to building the rest of your business. Big thanks to Kyle Poyer for coming on and sharing with us. We have one more SaaS interview for this series, and then we're on to growth. So we'll probably be releasing that in the next couple days. So hopefully you'll catch that on Tuesday. And then Thursday will be the first episode of our growth series, which I know you're looking forward to. Hit us up on Twitter at RocketShipFM. You can follow me at Michael Saka. You can follow Mike Belcito at Belcito. And you can follow Joel at Joel Goldman. All right. We'll see you back here in just a couple days.